Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? Hope you're well. Hope you're getting ready for turkey. And it's a great time for everybody. So we got some, we're gonna fill your gullets with hockey. That sounds not great. That sounds bad. Anyway, there's a lot of hockey to talk about, and not a lot of hockey in the next couple weeks, so we might be taking next week off. And yeah, we'll kind of go from there. And I think we will be taking next week off, because literally as I look up and down the schedule, the only teams that have games are Stevenson's NCAA programs. So next week we might just skip and we'll catch up on that. We'll do double time on the Stevenson side after that. In any case, we'll get started with Team Maryland, who had their second game of that short East Coast showcase, the mini showcase they had up there in Hollidale. They took on the New Jersey 87s and got out to a good start. Did great in the first half of the first period. Vadim Frolov with his 11th goal, 3:20 in from Xavier Tremblay, his 8th, and Adrian Therloff, his 4th assist of the year. And then 4 minutes later, Xavier Tremblay gets on the goal side. 6th of the year for him. Frolov gets a 9th assist, and Therloff his 5th assist. And then not so great after that, as the 87s make a very big late period charge, including a power play goal from Blake Dustin, 16-17 into the frame. And then with under a minute and a half to go, Mikhail Kukureka gets his 5th of the year for the 87s. And the 87s tie the game going into the second period. And then the second period, they start off pretty quick. Ethan Ellison, just only 4:19 in the second period, gets his 2nd of the year, puts the 87s up 3-2. And the 87s really took it to Maryland, out shooting them 13-5 in this. And you can't account that for any kind of power play, because there were no penalties called in the second period. 87 just kind of kicked up another notch there, and they did that in the third as well. 5:24 in, Landon Adams gets his 8th of the year, making it 4-2. Then Dustin with his 2nd of the game, 8th of the season, and then closed out with a 2:10 remaining, Cole Douglas, 4th of the year for the 87s. They'll take this one 6-2. Alexander Ilyas with the 28 save decision in this one, and not on the right side of the decision there. But the but Team Maryland looking to shake things off. They had a game on Monday. They took on PHC, the Philadelphia Hockey Club. And again, off to a solid start. Chase Hannon, his 1st of the year, just after the first the halfway mark of the first. And their second power play of the game. Will Moran gets his 1st assist. Nolan Zotter, his 5th assist. Team Maryland up 1-0. Then halfway through the second period, Theodore Lonsis gets his 2nd of the year from Aiden Therloff, his 6th assist, and Zotter, 2nd assist of the game, 6th of the year. Team Maryland up 2-0, but PHC gets back on the board. Hunter Engelman, his 1st of the year, 14:57 into the second, makes it 2-1. Team Maryland gets, again, a 2-goal lead from Therloff, his 3rd of the year from Zotter, 3 assists for him, 7th of the year. And they are back up 3-1, getting that 2-goal lead back. But Finley Lauer gets his 6th of the year, just under 2 minutes remaining in the second period, makes it 3-2. And then halfway through the third period, Scott McNulty gets his 1st of the year, gets PHC the tie, and then that's where we go. We go tie, and we go to overtime. Nothing happened in overtime. But then Team Maryland gets shootout goals from Xavier Tremblay and Vadim Frolov, whereas PHC got nothing, and Team Maryland wins this one by a score of 4-3. Josh Scully with 26 saves in the winning effort, and big in the shootout as well. So Team Maryland now, they will wait until after the holiday, November 30th. They will take on the Philadelphia Little Flyers at PHC. It might be a Piney. Either way, you can go check them out there. Actually, we might have to do a show, because there's 3 teams playing. In any case, production meetings on the air. It's great. So, yeah, Team Maryland getting almost hovering at that 500 mark, looking pretty good. Again, getting their wits about them and trying to get things going in a time for a possible playoff push. Stevenson University's men's squad had their first home weekend of the year, and they were taking on the Manhattansville Marauders, I think it is. No, it's just the night guy there. But in any case, Stevenson against Manhattansville. First period on Friday's matchup, nothing happened in there, but it wasn't until the second period, 6:36 in, when Blake Benson breaks the scoreless drought with an assist from Evan Beers, put Stevenson up 1-0. Moments later, though, on a power play, Manhattanville notches it up with Nolan Bradley notching a goal, making it 1-1. But 4 minutes after that, Eric Olson pots home the 2-1 scoreline for Stevenson from Zach Egber and Nick Dineen. And that's all she wrote on that one. That was all the periods, all the scoring in the periods from there. Manhattanville did have a lot of power plays in the first, did nothing with them. Stevenson doing a good job on the PK and making sure everything Ty Outen's way was one that, you know, didn't cause much harm. Outen gets his gets another win, 29 saves in the victory as we go on to Saturday's matchup. And Saturday actually had scoring in the first period. It wasn't until very late when John O'Hoynes of Manhattansville, with just about 5 minutes remaining, gets on the board first, making it 1-0 of Manhattansville. But with under a minute left, Liam McCanny pots one home from Nick Dineen and Evan Beers to tie the score just before going into the second. Second period, not much doing on that one, though. A lot of penalties, again, for Stevenson in that second period, including misconduct to Blake Benson, a 10-minute there early in the going. But Stevenson able to hold things out. And then in the third period, 2:41 in, Frank Fitucci pots one home, makes it 2-1 from Jack Carlson and Liam McCanny. And then empty net goal with 18 seconds remaining from Evan Beers from Frank Fitucci makes it 3-1. And the Stevenson Mustangs sweep it up of Manhattansville. Outen with 28 saves in this one, a big weekend for him. To get going in the season, get good vibes going into this next weekend. And Outen, his performance gets him co-goaltender of the week awards, 57 saves and 2 wins so far this season, a 1.70 goals against and a 9.47 save percentage. So a big big deal for him, his first from the UCHC. And then, yeah, there you go. Awesome to see him succeeding. This weekend, Stevenson, they'll go off to Michigan. They'll take on the U.S. National Team Development Program in the college series that they have. They go through different colleges throughout the year. Some will go down. Sometimes they'll go to those sites. Sometimes the colleges will go see them in Michigan. But this time, Stevenson will go up to Michigan because on Saturday they played Adrian, and Adrian always a bother for them. So it's going to be stiff competition this entire weekend. We will see how they fare. Stevenson women were on the road this weekend, and they were up at Chatham in Pittsburgh, PA. Friday night, a low and slow one, as only one goal recorded, and that was for Chatham. Brooke Allman, shorthanded, 13:57 into the middle frame, puts Chatham up and out of there. 1-0 victory. And really, I mean, Stevenson had all the chance in the world. They had 4 power plays the entire game. I'm trying to find this one. Is it a 10-minute misconduct they called on there? Because they have a 12-minute power play on this one. In any case, Stevenson did have a lot of power plays, just could not connect on them. And unfortunately, they just dropped this one 1-0. Mallory Hunt, 29 saves in the defeat. Round 2, hoping for a better outcome. Unfortunately, unable to get that, as they did score first, 4:23, and Emily Brightbill pots one home from Cassie Campbell, 1-0 early. But then from there, Chatham, I don't think this is true. It says they scored a goal, 2 goals in 2 seconds. That's some kind of record. But either way, early in the second, Allison Corser-James pots one home for Chatham. Aaron Carter then right after that makes it 2-1. Then just about 6 minutes into the period on the power play, Chatham's Samantha Barrett puts one home, making it 3-1. Then in the third period, Brooke Allman on the power play, making it 4-1. Special team specialist Brooke Allman. And then Allie Nolan ends at 10:49 into the third period to make it 5-1. And that is your final there. Again, Stevenson had a fair amount of power plays, 6 of them in all. Just could not get anything going on those. Mallory Hunt would get the loss. She faced 17 shots, saved 14 of them. Ansley King would go in for the second half of the game and get 17 saves in the relief effort. The women, they will play this Wednesday against Morrisville State. And then this weekend, they'll be up at SUNY Canton to take on the Ruse up there. And then we will see what that is all about when we get to that next week. The Naval Academy midshipmen, they went up to Temple this weekend for a Friday game. And was not the thing they were looking for in this one. They played tough. The second period of this one probably could have been considered one of their best periods of the year. But unfortunately, it yields not the result that they wanted. Start off 9:06 into the first period with Hunter Ringwood for Temple getting his sixth of the year, putting the Owls up 1-0. And then shortly after that, 18 seconds, Jordan Janich gets his fourth of the year, puts Temple up 2-0. Quick, but 12:47 in the first, Jagden Naudial with his burst of the year for Michael Rakovich, 12th assist, and Robert Cunningham, his third assist, gets Navy to within one, is where they would sit going into the second period. The second period offensively, we'll talk about that in a bit, but it was all Navy in this. But unfortunately, they had to kill off a couple of power plays first. Hunter Ringwood would make sure they didn't kill off both of those power plays. He puts a power play goal in for Temple, his seventh of the year. It's 3-1 Owls. But again, the power play, three power plays after that straight for the midshipmen. They were able to punt one goal. But before that, Ethan Adams gets one even strength, his eighth of the year for Michael Rakovich's 13th assist, pulls to within one, and then 12:30 into it just after a 5-1-3 ended. Sean Ostrowski, his fourth of the year on the power play. Evan Adams, 7th assist. Michael Rakovich, 14th assist, 3rd of the game, evens the score up at 3. However, in the third period in a tie game, unfortunately, Temple gets the jump on the mids as Hunter Ringwood gets his hat trick, opening up the scoring in every period and his 8th of the year, making it 4-3. Porter Markle would get one back 4 minutes later, his second of the year from Patrick Laughlin, his fourth assist, tie game once again. But then late with 2:40 remaining, Jeffrey Gross, his third of the year for the Owls, puts them up 5-4. And then an empty netter from Brandon Barrett, his 12th of the year with 8 seconds remaining, ends that game 6-4. Temple takes this one. Andrew Rugg, 33 saves in the defeat. Navy outshoots Temple 54-39. With a big chip on their shoulder after that one, Navy returned home to the McMullen Sportplex, and they were ready to go. They took on William Patterson, and even though there was no scoring in the first period, Navy came close a couple of times, outshooting William Patterson 17-2 in the first frame. A lot of that, a back and forth for that. Of course, there were some penalties, some bad blood between the two squads, and nothing to show for it on either side to start the game. However, 3:32 into the second, Michael Rakovich, his fifth of the year, just a nice little wraparound, a sneaky wraparound, something you don't see, tucks it in for his fifth of the year all alone, and Navy is up 1-0. However, on the power play, Adam Marvin gets his 11th of the year for William Patterson, 5:48 in to tie the game, and then less than 3 minutes later, Thomas Swartalt gets his 11th of the year for William Patterson, again on the power play, as Navy gets into some power play trouble in the second. Back-to-back-to-back-to-back power plays, almost like Tomlinski was out there. Discipline, a bit of an issue on the ice for the mids as they go into the second intermission down 2-1. But Navy comes back early in the third period, 3:29, and Jagden Naudial, his second of the year. Just a point shot, had a nice little drive-by screen, threw it at the net, and then boom, in the net for his second in as many games to even the score up. And it was a very big back and forth, couple chances here and there, but maybe you saw this on some hockey sites on social media. Two of the fathers calling the game, and a great call is Sean Milanette's goal. His first of the year, just a diving backhand rebound, falling down in the crease, gets a stick on it, puts it home for his first of the year. Justin Carl's third assist. Andrew Pensha, his third assist. Mids take this one 3-2. A big win for them going into a little bit of a break as Nathan Schmidt gets 17 saves in the victory. So a big win for the midshipmen, and it's going to be a big one going into their break, and they'll come out of it at West Point. They will have two games up at West Point taking on Army's M2 team December 1st and 2nd. So, of course, that is going to be huge, not just for a game itself, not just for confidence for that team as they head into, because that's their only games in December, and they'll head into their holiday break. But it's going to be big for confidence to see how they finish out this first half of the season. William Patterson just went all up the area for this weekend as they went up from George Mason. They moved up from George Mason to Navy, and then Navy up to Ice World, around where I'm at, as they took on the Towson University Tigers. Towson, this is their last game before a bit of a break as well. And I decided to take in this game, A, because it was a Sunday and it was the afternoon game, and I'm like, hey, this rings 5 minutes from my house. Why not go check it out? And also kind of check out to see why is Towson or what is Towson? Why are they their record? Is Towson a winless team? In that, like, is this team, you know, should they be winless? And I mean, I'll have some thoughts after this in a bit, but we'll get to the game first. And it was a very enjoyable game, a very back-and-forth game. If you like defensive struggles, this was not one to go to. 5:59 into it, James Harwood gets his eighth of the year, just going bar down, ripping one home on the power play from Caleb Amadon, his third assist. Towson up early, but on the shorthanded attempt, Austin Teets gets his 14th of the year. And just a turnover in the neutral zone for Towson, and then boom, going the other way into the goal. We are tied up at one. Matt Smith, 13-18, pots one home. His 10th of the year puts William Patterson up 2-1. But Tyler Mercier gets his 7th of the year on a great passing play between him, James Harwood, and Jeremy Wilson to tie the score up at 2. Then late in the frame, Ryan Murphy gets his first of the year for William Patterson with under 2.5 to go. And then with under a minute and a half to go, Austin Teets gets his 15th of the year on some turnovers in the Towson zone. A lot of that kind of sparked Daniel Ludwig to go to the bench and yell at his team, which I don't know if that's a good motivating factor or not, to yell at your team and do something. There were a couple screens in front as well, so who knows? Who knows if that fired them up going into the second period? It might have, because a 1-11 in, Jeremy Wilson, who is a heck of a player, gets his 7th of the year from Braden Humphrey and James Harwood. Humphrey's 3rd assist, Harwood's 8th assist of the year. Towson trying to claw back, but moments later, Austin Teets on the power play, 16th of the year, finishing off his hat trick. Puts William Patterson, again, up by 2 goals on that. And then, midway through the second, Jeremy Wilson just picking up the puck at one end, wheeling and dealing through everyone else, couldn't get the puck to go on his initial shot, but Caleb Amadon gets his rebound 4th of the year, though Jeremy Wilson was the star in that one. His 8th assist of the year for Wilson. That puts Towson, again, to within 1, and then wouldn't you know it again, here comes William Patterson with an answer as Matt Barbieri, his 2nd of the year with just about 2 minutes to go in the frame. And they will take a 6-4 lead going into the break. And then Adam Marvin, after a bit of a stalwart in the middle, Adam Marvin gets his 12th of the year, 11-12 into it. And then with 8 minutes remaining on the power play, Thomas Swarout gets his 12th of the year, puts it almost out of reach, 8-4 at that point. And then with about 5 minutes remaining, James Harwood, his 9th of the year off a nice little bar-down shot from Jeremy Wilson, his 9th assist of the season. But Towson cannot get those other 3 goals back. 8-5, the final in this. Daniel Ludwig makes 48 saves in the defeat. Now, watching this team play, watching Towson play in person, they have the talent. Like, it is a very talented team. I mean, Jeremy Wilson's got wheels. James Harwood's got a hell of a shot. Kalen Amadon is a solid defenseman back there on the point. You know, Tyler Mercier has been great. Aiden Ritter's got a little bit of a problem in terms of taking untimely penalties. Ryan Conaway is a solid defenseman back there in his first year. Daniel Ludwig is, you know, he doesn't get too much support, but he, you know, he could, you know, a save. There are a lot that he probably would want to get back in terms of shots, but it's almost weird that this team is, it does not have a win yet this season. You would think that one of them would fall. You would think that they'd be able to snag at least one victory out of this, but for some reason, they are better than their record shows, but they're, you know, the results and everything around it does not show that as they look to find answers in this. They're a very good team. It's just a matter of putting it all together. Can they do that in time? Don't know, but they are better than what their record dictates. It's just a matter of, I guess, playing more cohesive as a team. They have all the parts, but the parts don't make, you know, one part makes an airplane, one part makes a car, one part makes a bicycle. You put them all together, it's a crazy mess. Jen HL History Girl, who was at the game with me, she's like, their passing is either rifle passing or soft passing. There's no in between. And that's where they get in their problems in terms of turnovers, in terms of untimely icings, in terms of just bad passing in general. I'm just like, yeah, that's I did not think about that. And then the next thing you know, there was a soft dumping pass, and then there was a rifle pass that next pass. It's just like, wow, there is no middle ground. So Towson is better than the record dictates, but it's a matter of putting it all together. And I think you can say the same thing for Navy at this point. They're better than what their record dictates, but they haven't been able to put a consistent timeliness together for this. So we will see what all goes down. As right now, Towson is they're off until December 1st, where they will go a home and home at Westchester. They will be at against Westchester on December 1st, and then at Westchester on the 2nd. The University of Maryland Terrapins, they went down to North Carolina, take on NC State and UNC Chapel Hill. And things got started pretty good for them against UNC. They took Tucker Healy gets his 9th of the year from Travis DeShane as Terrapins get on the board first. But then Nick Shook of the Ice Pack puts home his 13th of the year to tie the game at 8:25. And Garrett Audrin gets his 10th of the year, puts the Ice Pack up 2-1 going into the break. Ice Pack 12-8, the shots in the first period. And Maryland 151 in the second period. Trevor Drake, his 5th of the season from Chase Wilson, his 6th assist of the season, ties the game back up before Zach Herman at 4:30 gets his 8th of the year for NC State to put them back up 1. A lot of power plays for Maryland in this game in general. Only one in the second, and they made it count as Max Noonan gets his 18th of the year from Tucker Healy, his 9th assist, and Daniel Tomaszewski, his 11th assist, ties the game back. But hey, Nick Shook, late in the period, gets his 14th of the year, 2nd of the game, to keep the Ice Pack up by 1 going into the 3rd. Not a first 2-minute goal for Maryland. It was actually NC State who opens the period scoring with Garrett Audrin gets his 2nd on shorthanded attempt. His 11th of the year, 2nd of the game, puts NC State up by 2. Max Noonan gets another power play goal, his 19th. It was only 39 seconds after the shorthanded goal. Brian Teske's 8th assist, Tucker Healy's 10th assist. But Zach Herman gets his 9th of the year and 2nd of the game midway through the 3rd period on the power play. And that is all she wrote on that one. NC State takes this one 6-4 as they outshoot Maryland 49-26 in overall shots. Henry Peltier with 43 saves in the defeat. Short memory for Maryland, hopefully trying to get something out of UNC Chapel Hill, the Tar Heels, and they did not. Too many to not enough in this one. First period, Leighton Walsh gets his 4th of the year, puts the Tar Heels up 1-0. And then Patrick O'Shaughnessy, his 13th of the year with under 5 minutes in the first, makes it 2-0 Tar Heels. Right after that, a minute and change later, Zach Mangiel gets his 1st of the year, 3-0 Tar Heels going into the 2nd. Middle of 2nd on the power play, Matt Grady's 10th of the year puts the Tar Heels up 4-0. And then less than 2 minutes after that, Cole Kosowski, his 8th of the year for the Tar Heels, makes it 5-0. And that is where we stood overall, 5-0. UNC takes this one. Henry Peltier gets the loss. The shots were actually just the goals. They don't have a total shot count, which is kind of weird. But hey, here we are in life. So Maryland goes down to NC, did not get the results they want, but I'm sure it's a learning experience overall. They take on Penn State December 1st and 2nd after the holiday break, and a couple more games for them, and they will go out into the wild blue yonder. That is the second half of the season after all is said and done. Well, Naval Academy women, midshipmen. Again, I don't know if it's midshipmen. Is it midship women? Is it just mids? I don't know. They did have a game this weekend. They didn't partake in the full DVCHC showcase, but they did take on Mercyhurst again for the second time in as many weeks. Late in the first period, Mercyhurst opens the scoring with 31 seconds remaining. Haley Petrick, her seventh of the year on the power play, and Mercyhurst up 1-0 going into the second. Navy controlling most of the play in the second period. Well, all three periods, to be quite honest with you, especially in the second and the third, outshooting Mercyhurst 12-5 in the second, 15-6 in the third, but we'll get to all of that later. 4:32 in, Tina Cornelio gets her 13th of the year to tie the game at 1, and then with under 4 minutes remaining, Cornelio again, 14th of the year from Hava Zarfinski, her second assist of the year. Navy up 2-1 going into the third. Then a frantic third period, a lot of penalties given out, a lot of power plays for Navy. They were unable to convert on any of them. In fact, with 7:30 remaining in the game, Kylie Cushman gets her 12th of the year for Mercyhurst to tie the game. But with 4:07 left, Alexis Smith decides to end it. Her fourth of the year for the mids from Elizabeth Perry, her fifth assist, and Savannah Holt, her fourth assist, was the game winner as Navy wins yet again. Deanna Privrodo, 15 saves in the victory for Navy. Now, Navy will be off. They will take on University of Maryland on December 2nd. So it should be an exciting matchup there as Maryland is starting to possibly get some things going for themselves. And speaking of Maryland, they did take in part of the full showcase this weekend at Aston Iceworks, and they had themselves a heck of a time starting off on Friday against the same Lakers, the Mercyhurst Lakers. No scoring in the first period. Maryland did outshoot Mercyhurst 12-6 in that one, but then got into a lot of penalty trouble in the second period, resulting in a power play goal. Tegan Spracklin gets her second of the year, 8:30 into the frame, as Maryland was down two players. Mercyhurst 18-5 on the shots in that one. No other scoring in that frame, so 1-0 the score going into the third. And then 23 seconds in, Aliana Skogholm, her fifth of the year from Abigail Hellman, her first assist of the year, ties the game for Maryland. And then a back and forth again, more penalties on both sides. And then next thing you know, Maryland gets a goal. Catherine Wanner, her second of the year from Lauren Wraith, her first of the year, and Elizabeth Braun, her first of the year, puts the Terps up by one, but with under 2 minutes remaining and on the power play. And Ava Whitling ties the game for Mercyhurst on her second of the year. Overtime solved nothing. They don't do a shootout, and we end in a tie. Sydney Molnar, 39 saves, and a big effort from her to get this tie. On Saturday, the Terps took on Rowan University, the Profs. And Maryland gets out to an early lead first in the first half of the first period. Elizabeth Braun, her fourth of the year, puts Maryland up 1-0, 7:03 in. Lauren Wraith, second assist. Michelle Reynoso, her first assist. And then 2 minutes and 7 seconds later, Grace Wildberger, her fifth of the year from Aliana Skogholm, her fifth assist. And Alexandra Bogish, her third assist of the year. Terps up 2-0. Shots even, Steven after one. And then midway through the second period, Grace Wildberger, her sixth of the year from Eileen Kilcarry, her fourth assist of the year, puts Maryland up 3-0 in a big, big way for them. And it wasn't until late in the third when there was scoring when Zanita Kukurkova for Rowan gets her seventh of the year. But it'll be all for naught as Christina Karabanova gets her fifth of the year for Maryland with under a minute remaining from Alexandra Borgish and Victoria Bogger, her second assist of the year. Maryland wins this one 4-1. Sydney Molnar, 39 saves in the winning effort. Go right into Sunday's game, rather, and UPenn awaiteth. The Quakers were waiting for Maryland there. Joanna Fish gets her second of the year midway through to put the Quakers up 1-0. In the first period, Maryland then dominated the second period. 14-2 were the shots. Only one power play they were given. They did not convert on that, But Alejandra Burgos gets her second goal of the year from Aliana Skogholm, her sixth assist at 4:24 in the second to tie the game, and then 13-13, sometimes an unlucky number. But Burgos gets her third of the year from Skogholm, her seventh assist of the year, 2-1 Terps. But in the third period, things kind of turned around, not for the better, as Ansley Rexford of Penn gets her seventh of the year, 7:24 and to tie it, and then 14-14. That's weird that we're getting all these numbers that are the same. Catalina Hiller gets her 21st of the year for the Quakers, and they go on to win this one by a count of 3-2. Elle Shanzer was in net for Maryland, made 15 saves in this one in the defeat. So Maryland will now take a break again. They will take on Navy on Saturday, December 2nd. So that'll be down at McMullen. So if you're in the area, go ahead and check it out. Then Loyola was also there. They are a D2 team participating in D3 activities for DVCHC. They took on Montclair State in their two games. Friday night was not great. 11-5 was the result there. We'll just give the stat line for Loyola in this one. Madeline Webb with a natty bow, Hattie Horn, three goals. Emma Alexander had a goal, and Caitlin Cavanaugh also had a goal in this one, while Claudia Valentine made 22 saves in the game. And then on Saturday against Montclair State, 15-6, Montclair State takes this one. Loyola actually up 3-0 to start off with from goals from Madeline Webb, Astrid Chase, and Caitlin Cavanaugh on this. And then, yeah, it was after that, it was all Montclair State, including an insane 6-goal third period and 7-goal second period overall. Caitlin Cavanaugh had a goal, Astrid Chase with a goal, Victoria Dunham a goal and assist, Whitney Rees two assists, Madeline Webb a goal and assist, same with Emma Alexander, and Sierra Shaler with a goal and an assist as well. Claudia Valentine with 15 saves. Yeah, they didn't have a shot count at all. So it says 15 saves, but it's not that. That's the shots she had against her. But those are all the goals. So Loyola, interesting look. They'll be off until December 10th. They'll take on Westchester from that point forward. We will see how this all pans out for the Greyhounds. Let's get to a little other action as well, Division III action. Navy Midshipmen, they had their had a couple of games against High Point University. Won a thrilling game in overtime on Friday night with Chris Savetta ending it, giving the Mids the win, and then on Saturday a 5-0 victory for Navy over High Point University. So a big sweep for them this weekend. Good to see them doing solid. Montgomery College is up. They got 5 wins in 5 games. One against York College of Pennsylvania this past weekend, 6-1. So a big win for them. Good to see they're doing well this season, as we haven't heard too much from Montgomery College overall. Salisbury had a rough go about it this weekend during the AAU, I guess, showcase they had down there. Unfortunately, 3 losses for them, 7-3 to Fordham, 10-3 to Paul Smith, and then 4-3. To Newman. They will take on Newman again in February. That's their next game for Salisbury. So Salisbury not doing so hot this year with only 4 wins on the season. And other stats for Hopkins and Loyola and UMBC, not kind of there. So we will move onward and upward, I suppose. And all the best to those teams going forward, because yeah, you love to see hockey in Maryland. You also love to see a little results and a little bit of updates from the teams themselves. But no news is good news, I guess. I don't know. We'll move on from there. Let's get to some players. Sam Annis doing his dang thing again. Got another goal on Monday. Puts his total up to 10 this year. 19 points in 30 games for Nanaimo Minsk. Micah Berger had 1 assist on Friday in a shootout loss for Sioux Falls. That puts his total up to 4 assists on the season. 2 goals, 6 points in 18 games in the USHL. Charlie Serrano got a goal and 2 assists on Sunday to couple with the assist he had on Saturday for a 4-point week, putting him at 18 points in 11 games for the Youngstown Phantoms, which was good enough for him to be selected to the 2023 World Junior A Challenge that is going to be December 10th to 17th in Nova Scotia. Team USA opens up December 11th against Slovakia, so he will be a part of that team. So shout out to him, as he also signed as an ally to Penn State, I do believe. So congratulations to him on that as well. A lot going for the Fallston, Maryland native. Mike Chen getting another kick at the can with the Reading Royals. The sturdy defenseman gets his first assist of the year in Saturday's loss to Newfoundland, but first assist of the year in 8 games. So congratulations to him getting back on the board in his age 30, almost 31 season for him there. Anthony Domina had 3 assists on Saturday in a loss that his Yorkton Terriers faced against the Milford Mustangs. That puts him at 10 assists on the season, 13 points on the year in 16 games for the Severna Park Merlin native. Last Wednesday, Patrick Giles had a goal, and in a win against San Diego in San Diego for the Charlotte Checkers, and that has him at 2 goals and an assist this year in 14 games for the Checkers. Dimitri Kebrew had an assist on Friday during the win for the Maryland Black Bears against the New Hampshire Mountain Kings. So that puts him at 20 assists on the season, 27 points in 22 games for him. Quinn Kennedy at Connecticut College had a goal and an assist this weekend in the opening weekend for those folks up there in the Northeast. So shout out to him on that. Also shout out to Maryland native Kim Weiss for getting her first wins as a coach in D3, as she's the assistant coach for the Trinity College Bantams against Tufts University, and then I do believe it was against Connecticut College, I do believe. So there you go. So big things happening there in the Northeast for Maryland natives. Team Maryland alum William Lawrence had a goal and 2 assists this weekend, although Johnstown did get swept by Maine in this one. That puts him at 21 points in 22 games this season for the 20-year-old out of Bethesda. Will Margell had an assist for Mercyhurst against Air Force on Saturday. That was their loss, unfortunately, against Air Force. They did win on Sunday, but Margell did not get a decision on that. Johnny Malera, 4 goals and 9 assists in 9 games so far with South Virginia University in D3, ripping things up there. And I do believe his last year in college hockey. Evan Orloff had a goal for the Maine Nordiques as they swept the weekend against Johnstown. We just talked about that with Will Lawrence. So that puts him at 2 goals and 2 assists this year since coming back to the Nordiques. And Jack Spicer played in Friday's game against Dubuque for Waterloo. Unfortunately, a loss for him, 22 saves, 6 goals against. That unfortunately increases his numbers, 4.19 goals against, .851 save percentage, and a 1-5-0 record. So hopefully he can find some groove back and get things going again, get him back to where he was last year, where it was just a remarkable output for him. So we will see how that all goes, but we will have to wait till next week as we are done here. Thank you all for listening. It means a lot to me, more than you know, and I appreciate your time to listen. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Chesapeake Hockey Week, part of the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Faction and Podcast Monsters. Check us out on at Chesapeake HW Pod on Twitter and ClutchAndCrabHockey.com. Not a lot there except for Black Bears content yet, so we will see how that all goes. But until we speak to you next time, it'll be a short one next week if we decide to do one. If not, then, you know, we won't do one. But in any case, you guys stay safe, stay healthy, stay dry. It's pretty wet out here, at least in Harford County and the coastal areas. But we'll play that Clutching Crab Hockey till we talk to you next. Peace.